Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Joy of the Lord. It's Wednesday, July 26th, and tonight we're on spiritual warfare again. And the topic tonight for spiritual warfare is when you're not good enough. When you're not good enough. And I know we've all felt that way. Some of us all the time. Some of us some of the time. Some of us feel pretty good about ourselves, right? I mean, it kind of depends on you and where you're at in life and maybe how you were raised and that kind of thing. But, you know, maybe you kid yourself that you feel good enough, right? You know, maybe you have one of those fake it till you make it attitudes, you know? But we're going to be talking about tonight about whether or not you feel like you're good enough and what Satan wants you to believe and whether or not we really are good enough. Father, we thank you so much for you leading us to this program, for the time that you give us to spend with you every Wednesday. Lord, we just ask that the Holy Spirit would give us everything tonight, that you would have us, every verse that you would have us go to, every topic, every single area that you would want us to delve into, Lord. I just pray that it would all come directly from you, that none of it would be from my flesh, but your Holy Spirit's leading entirely. And I just ask all that in the name of Christ. Amen. All right. So when we feel like we aren't good enough, we're not good enough for ministry, we're not good enough to share the gospel with someone, we're not good enough for anything, whatever it may be. We're not good enough in our job. We're not good enough in whatever, all right? Whatever the case may be, we don't feel good enough. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're going to start. We're going to start in Galatians 6. And, you know, the thing is, of course, we have the whole world telling us that how important it is that we feel like we're good enough, right? And I'm not saying that we should go around our whole lives feeling like, woe is me, I'm an utter failure, I'm just, you know, a big mess, and I can't do my job well enough, and I can't do this well enough, and I'm a horrible parent, and that's not what I'm talking about, okay? But, you know, we shouldn't go around with this sort of downcast look on our faces all the time, like, I'm, you know, and telling everybody I'm just horrible, and acting as if, well, I'm just this miserable person. Don't ever come to me for advice because I'm terrible. That's not what I'm talking about. So we're going to go through this tonight, and we're going to see exactly what our attitude should be when we're feeling this, I'm just not good enough to do God's work, or I'm not good enough to do my own work, you know, like on your job, or whatever the case may be. Let's talk about what God says, all right? So we're going to start in Galatians 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, He deceives himself. So, right, we're talking about who we are. Who are we? Who are we in our own self? Right? Who are we in our own self? Let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And so Isaiah 64. And in Isaiah 64, we're going to go to verse 6. And verse 6 says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags." Our righteousnesses, okay? All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So this is talking about us and who we really are. You know, we think that we're not good enough. Well, you're kind of right in that, right? We, our own self, in our own flesh, okay, in our own flesh, we are a mess. We really are a mess. That's what we think of ourselves. We're right. We are right. Okay? Romans 3. Romans 3. Don't back out on me yet now, because I'm going to get to the good stuff. Okay? Romans 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one." None of us. None of us is good. None of us is righteous. None of us. Let's continue there, as a matter of fact. Verse 11, "There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God." We don't seek after God until he convicts us. The only way we seek after him is when the Holy Spirit, when God seeks after us first, when he convicts us of our need for him, see, then that's when we realize our need and we come to him in response to his conviction. We don't seek him unless we feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit first. Verse 12, "They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." None of us. None of us is good enough. So when we feel like we are not good enough to do God's will, we're not good enough for ministry, we're not good enough to talk to the neighbor or our friends or our family about Christ, that's true. We aren't. We aren't. But what does Philippians tell us? Let's go to Philippians. And I'm going to go to a tiny little book here. Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." It's God who does the work in us. All right? God does the work in us. So let's check into that a little more. Because the only way, the only good in us is God. And we talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about how little there is in us, right? We talked about when we're like attacked and there seems like there's nothing we can do. And we talked about God working in us, and we're going to go into that more. So let's go into 2 Corinthians. Let's go into 2 Corinthians. Because, seriously, we are nothing. We're absolutely nothing without him. And I feel like I'm nothing tonight. It is hot in here. Okay, so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm in verse 9 and 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, this is Paul. This is Paul talking, a man of such great faith that the Holy Spirit used him to write a great deal of the New Testament. I mean, so many of the epistles were written by Paul. Now, the Gospels weren't written by him, but many of the epistles, the majority of the epistles, were written by Paul. And yet, the prosperity gospel people will have you believing that everything should be coming up roses, right? Everything should be perfect and glorious and nothing but blessings for the children of God, for Christians, for whatever name you want to give us, all right? People of the way, as some people used to call us, way back in the first century, right? The first century AD. I mean, there were all kinds of names that we went by. Some people want to say, I ran into someone a couple of days ago who said, nope, the only thing that we can call ourselves is the sons of God. I don't care if you just call yourself Christians or if you call yourself people of the way or... You know, which is, you'll find that in here. If you call yourself saints, that's an accurate description. As long as you know who you are in Christ, right? It doesn't, any of those terms is acceptable. The point is that Paul was a man of great, great faith. And yet he knew that he was nothing, absolutely nothing without Christ. He was nothing. And he states here, listen, when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ. Sake. He is nothing, absolutely nothing without Christ. Nothing without Christ. And this is the point that we need to get to, where we realize that the only good in us, the only good in us is Christ. The only good in us is God. The only good in us is the Holy Spirit. So when we say we aren't good enough, I just don't feel good enough, that's true. We are not good enough. We are not good enough. But it's not in ourselves, right? But we have full goodness in us when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, because he is the only good in us. That is Philippians 1. Let me find it here. Philippians 1. Let me just find it. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ. Paul says, that's what he lives for. To live is Christ. To die is gain. So there's nothing. There's nothing to live for him except Christ. What kind of faith is that? That was the only thing that he lived for was Christ. Period. Period. That's all he had. That's all he lived for. He lived for Christ, and that was it. There was nothing else he lived for. He knew that in him, there was nothing. There was nothing good in him except Christ. That was all. Let's go to, for some reason in my notes, I wrote First Psalm. Boy, if somebody knows of another psalm that was written, get on here and let me know, would you? First Psalm. All right, Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now think of that last part, verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God knew us before we were even made. Before she was even born, God already knew who I would be. He already knew everything that would happen to me throughout my entire life. He already knows the things that I'm going to do before I die and what day I'll die. He knows those things already. Now, I got to tell you, some of that, I'm glad I don't know. Some people say they would love to know when they're going to die. They'd like to know things. I don't want to know. I really would not want to know. Because quite frankly, the first part of my life has been a little scary. I'm just saying. There's some things that I'm glad I didn't know about in advance. That's all I can say. So I'm glad that God knows things ahead of time, but that I don't. But the fact that he knew these, it says the days, in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. He already knew. He has already formed my life ahead of time. Now, does that mean that I don't have any free will? No. But it means that he's already aware of everything that's going to take place. I'm not a puppet. I have free will. But God is already aware. He already knows. And he is there for me. He's there for me. Now, I still have a choice as to how I am going to handle that life. Genesis 1, 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we were made in his image. We were made in his image. In the beginning, and we blew it, right? We messed it up. But we were made in his image in the beginning, and we fell. All right, let's go to Jeremiah. All over the Bible today. all over the place. Jeremiah 29. So if you can keep up with me, great. If you can't, you know, go forth and write the verses just down and go back and look at them later if you want to, because I am going to be moving pretty quickly. So Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of times, you know, sometimes I just don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. So, but Jeremiah 29, we're going to start in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's 11 through 13 in Jeremiah 29. Now think about that. We think that we are not good enough, and we aren't, but we can go to him. And when we search for him with our whole heart, he will listen to us. See, we don't have to do things on our own. That's the problem. We want to do things on our own. Remember, though, where am I going? If you've been listening to me for the last 2 years and a little more, you already know. James 1, 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, and thinking that you're not good enough, that you can't do God's will. Talking about God's will, not your own. Because I don't really care if you think you're good enough to do your own will. And neither should you. It doesn't matter if you're good enough to do your own will. God doesn't care if you're good enough to do your own will. You know what your own will is? Your own will is Satan's will. Let me say that again. Your will is Satan's will. If you're not doing God's will, then you're doing the will of the flesh, which means you're doing the will of Satan. That's right. Let's go back to Romans for a minute here. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, still in Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, listen, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, listen. This is important. Are you walking in the Spirit? According to Romans 8:1, or are you walking in the flesh? What did verse 6 say? To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal minded mind is enmity, that means deep hatred. That's what enmity. So let me reword that. The carnal mind or the fleshly mind, same thing. Let me just reread that first part. Because the flesh is deep hatred against God. What is deep hatred against God? That's satanic. That's satanic. So if you're feeling like you're not good enough, that is Satan working in your mind to tell you to do it on your own. You're trying to think that in your head. You're going to do this on your own. Go do it on your own. Figure out how to do it yourself in the flesh. And then you saying, okay, yeah, but I can't do that. I can't do it on my own. I'm not good enough. And that's Satan telling you that. It's those demons saying to you, you're not good enough. You can't do it. You. And that's you saying, yeah, I can't do it. And other people will try to tell you the same thing. You have family members? Do you have friends? Do you have neighbors? Do you have people in church? Right? People in church saying, nope, you are not far enough along in your Christian walk. You just became a Christian 2 months ago, 1 week ago, a year ago. You're not ready yet to go talk to people about Christ. Let's make you an usher. Let's make you a greeter. Let's make you this, that, or whatever. But certainly, you're not good enough to talk to people about Christ. Well, I disagree with that. You know what else? You know who else disagrees with that? God disagrees with that. We're going to prove it today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is not just talking about sharing the gospel. This is anything that God tells you to do. So stop worrying about what the church or your pastor. Now, before I go any further, let me make this clear. I'm not telling you have a bad pastor. I don't know anything about your pastor. I don't know anything about your church. What I'm telling you is, listen to God first. Your pastor, your best friend, your youth minister, your small group leader, your whatever. There's no person. There's no quiz. There's no test. There's no whatever those other little things are, those little, you know, you've probably seen them. You know, there's those little things that you fill out. I did one a long, long time ago. I'm gonna tell you my opinion about them, okay? I'm just going to be real here. Let's be real, okay? There are these things that you fill out. They're anywhere from 5 to 20 pages of questions where you fill out, yeah, I think I'm like this. And, yeah, this is how I am. You know, they're like little bubbles that you fill in or questions, you know, whatever, A, B, C, and D. And at the end, you, like, add up all the A's, B's, C's, and D's or whatever, and whatever it comes up with, that's your spiritual gift. Hogwash, balderdash, and all the other little words I got from my grandmother, okay? That's not spiritual gifts. That's talents, okay? That's things that you, those are the things that they give you when you go to college or you go to high school. Some people might have taken them in high school, and they were like, let's figure out what you're going to do, you know, what your career is going to be because you happen to be good at this. That's not a spiritual gift. That's, I'm going to be a teacher or I'm going to be a waitress or whatever. But that's not a spiritual gift. That can't tell you if God's going to give you a gift to speak in tongues or to be a pastor or to heal people. And quite frankly, most of those tests aren't even going to have most of those spiritual gifts on there, are they? Now, you may be listening to me and say, she believes in charismatic gifts. No, I believe in biblical gifts. I believe in biblical gifts. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Don't you? I do. Now, you may say, oh, so that means you're Pentecostal. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm also not Baptist, Methodist, whatever. I'm a Bible-believing, born-again, blood-washed child of the King. That's what I am. And whatever sort of spiritual gift God wants to give me, I will accept. Don't know what those are. I know what some of them are. But I never asked, well, since they gave me that test a long time ago, I don't ask man, I ask God. I'm just saying, my point of all this is, whatever God gives you to do, whatever your ministry is, through Him, okay? And I've said this before, it's really His ministry working through you. It's not yours, right? And He may give you a spiritual gift. Holy Spirit gives out these spiritual gifts, but it's God working through you. And I guarantee you that if He gives you something to accomplish, He's going to accomplish it through you. I mean, do you really think that God is going to allow Himself to look like a fool? Do you really think that? I don't see it. Now, He will allow man to make Himself look like a fool. That's okay. That's man. And I say this because I'm not going to point out anyone in particular, but let's just say, and we all know this, that there are preachers. There are men who and women who have called themselves preachers, evangelists, whatever, that we know that they have made themselves into fools, right? They've made themselves into false prophets, etc. And we can say, well, that just makes Christians look bad. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make Christians look bad. It makes that man look bad. It makes the man look bad, or the woman look bad, or whoever. Maybe it makes that church look bad. This is why we absent ourselves from those kind of preachers. We absent ourselves from false preaching, right? We say, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. This is why when we have, when God has said, listen, I'm going to put this ministry in you. I'm going to put this spiritual gift in you. Why we must say, I understand, and it's yours working through me. This is why we say, I'm not good enough. You're right, I'm not. A couple weeks ago, I had somebody say to me, I had someone say to me, you know what? You're a bad person. I said, you're right, I am. This person was very angry and whatever. Okay. Or said, you're not a good person, or I don't know. Doesn't matter. That's how much doesn't matter anymore. And I said, you are right. I am not a good person. But Christ in me makes me righteous. It's only Christ in me that makes me any sort of good. Let me tell you, that stopped everything right there. There's no answer for that. When you agree that you are not good, there's no good in me. The only good in me is Christ. But of myself, nope, nothing. Where is it? True. I am not good enough. I'm not good enough to do this that I'm doing right here. Not this ministry. If I tried to do this of myself, I would fail so miserably. When I when my first year doing this ended. Wow. Huh. And then I realized that what I had done a couple months in, and I realized that about it, I think it was in my second or third week, I said, you know what? The first week, it was really bad. And I mean, I just felt like I had failed miserably. And I realized that I couldn't do it at all. And every week after that, this was after the, like I said, after the first or second week, I said, it's not mine. This is not mine. It's not my ministry. It's God's ministry through me. And I have to take that belief, that faith, that God is going to work it through me every single time. And I actually prayed and said, Lord, if I ever try to take that back, if I take it back and say, okay, I'm just going to do this on my own, I ask him to take it from me, to take this back from me. Because if I'm trying to do it on my own, it's going to be worthless. It's going to fall apart. And he will take it from me, I believe. I think that's what eventually happens. Is that either he takes it from us physically, in other words, I will lose it, or he'll take it from us spiritually so that we see that there are some pastors who have completely lost their ministry in that it has just become a sort of it's more like what they would maybe call Christian coaching or something like that. More of a, what do they call it? You know, somebody standing up at the front at a podium doing I can't even think of what they're called. You know, it's those, you know, it's more of a cheerleading thing, you know? Somebody just standing up there and saying, yeah, you know, go you, right? It's, and we see these preachers, some of you can probably think to yourself, in fact, let me mention somebody right now that isn't a preacher, doesn't consider himself a preacher, but I'm quite sure that when I mention his name, you can then think of a couple pastors that are kind of like this, and that's this Zig Ziglar guy. I don't know if he's even still alive, but, you know, he used to do these sort of things that were more for business owners, you know what I mean? And he'd go out and kind of pep up everybody in the business, and then and that's what a lot of these church services have become, right? Sort of, okay, you know, we get them in there on Sunday, and we pep them all up, and they go out, and they head out to, you know, Cracker Barrel for lunch. No offense, Cracker Barrel's a great place. But they go out there for lunch, or they go to wherever, and they go out, you know. And by the end of Sunday, you know, the Bible, if they even took one with them, is back getting dusty on the shelf again. And that's where this not good enough comes from. Because if you are one of those people, that you just go in and, yep, going for your pep talk. Yeah, you're great. You're wonderful. Repeat the sinner's prayer after me today. Yep, I said it again. Yeah, look how great I am. I said that sinner's prayer. I repeated it after the pastor today. I'm good for another week, or I'm good until Wednesday. I'll come back on Wednesday and I'll say it again. That's why you feel this way. That's why you feel this, I'm not good enough. Because you're trying to just make it from Sunday to Sunday, from pep talk to pep talk. That's not going to get you through. Making it from one pep talk to another, that's not going to do it. Because you see, God doesn't work with pep talks. God wants you to read his word. And he actually wants you to realize how worthless you are on your own. He wants you to see just how much you need him. See that 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, you have to be in Christ. You're not in you anymore. You're not worrying anymore about you having to do it. You're in Christ. You are a new creation. You're brand new. You got rid of all that old mess. All that person you used to be. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe it? This isn't me giving you a pep talk here. This is me telling you, listen, you are not the person you were. If you didn't just go in and repeat that prayer week after week after week after a pastor. Or you didn't just go in and say, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, yep, I believe it, yeah. Okay, yes, Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ, as my Savior. That's not, come on, guys. I mean, repeating a prayer after someone else is not believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Did you repent and believe? Do you even know what it means? Do you even know what repentance means? It's turning away from that sin that you were a part of all those years and saying, I have a completely new belief. I don't believe in all that because that was enmity with God. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with my hatred of God. I love hell. What I hate is Satan. What I hate is the flesh. I literally hate my own flesh. I hate who I was. That's my repentance. I hate the life I lived. I hate that I literally wanted to sin against God every day of my life. That was my love. My love was the flesh. I loved that. I loved being in all that mess before. And then I came to the point where I wanted to turn away from it. I said, no, Lord, I hate this mess I have made of my life. Did you have that moment? That moment of repentance where everything in your life disgusted you? Where God came to you and said, oh, aren't you just disgusted and sick of who you are? Don't you want to just turn to me and say, please, Lord, help me out of this mess? I can't do it. See, that's repentance. That is repentance. That is your not good enough moment. I am not good enough. I can't do it. You shouldn't be saying, I'm not good enough over and over and over and over again. Because that not good enough moment was when you accepted Christ. We are not good enough. We had that not good enough when we accepted him And it's okay that we realize we weren't good enough. The continual not good enough moment is the world telling us, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. That's Satan. You're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. That's them telling us you're not good enough for the world. Yeah, that's okay. I don't want to be good enough for you. I don't want to be good enough for Satan's people. I don't want to be good enough by your standards. Who cares about your standards? Your standards are disgusting, quite frankly. I toss your standards out the window. Hold on. Let me get you the exact day. You may not have your exact day. I always have to look right now. My exact day was May 14th of 2000 at 6 o'clock p.m. May 14th of 2000. So 23 years ago, that was my exact day. You may not have your exact day, but you may have that moment in your head. You know, you may know when you prayed, when you turned to him, when you repented. And if you don't, maybe you need to get one. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you say, well, you know, I accepted Christ when I was about 4 years old and I got baptized. Did you? Did you, though? I'm asking you because I have met people. Listen, I have a daughter who thought she was saved at age 7 and was not. Okay? And she knows that she wasn't. I thought I was saved at age 29, 30, right about there. But I wasn't. It wasn't until in 2000. And it was because of that very thing. Repeat after me. Okay, now you're saved. No. I was no more saved than my car was. I wasn't. I didn't even know what repentance was. And I kept on trying to work myself into being good enough. I kept trying to be good enough. And I've recently realized that I still was trying to do that some. And I probably am still trying to do it some in some ways. You know, we have to realize sometimes. Sometimes we have to say, oh, wait. I'm still trying to do that on my own, too. And there will be times when God will probably show you for the rest of your life. You're still working on that one. Stop it. Give it to me. Stop it. Give that one to me, too. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Because we still live here in the flesh. We're still living in this body. And so it's difficult for us living in this body to have to keep it, to not try to control it sometimes, right? We have to keep going, nope, not mine. Remember, Paul asked 3 times for God to take his problem away from him until God finally says, look, not taking it away. Quit asking. Quit asking. That's when that 2 Corinthians 12 came along, and let me go there again. And that's when he said to him, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God was telling them, listen, stop trying to control everything. And because you're trying to control everything, I'm not going to take it away from you. Not. Sometimes you need to realize that There are going to be things that you're not going to be healed of. There are going to be blessings you're not going to receive just because you need to realize that everything isn't going to be perfect, that you're not going to be, you're not going to have the Midas touch, right? Everything isn't going to be perfect for you. Maybe you're going to live very poor. Maybe you're going to be sick. Maybe you're going to be blind. Maybe you're going to have this, this, or this. But when you are weak, then you are strong. What does that mean? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because that's what he's telling him. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He says in weakness. Why? Because that's when we get up to him. Lord, I get it. When I give up my control to you, but I'm not able to do it, that's when you take over. That's when God took over when David said, I don't need all that armor that you're trying to put on me. I don't need it. I'm going to have to carry that armor you're trying to give me. Doesn't matter. Because God is going to take care of it. The battle is the Lord's, he said. The battle is God's. He's going to beat Goliath for me. I'm just going to throw the stone. I mean, I got the slingshot. And I got a couple stones here, but I'm not even worried about it. God's going to do it. It's his battle. That's what he's talking about. You're not good enough? You think David was? Can you imagine going up against Goliath, a man that was probably 3 times his height and at least that times his size physically? I mean, big guy. David just said, did he say, I'm not good enough? Nope. He said, God's got this. Not my problem. God. And that is the attitude we need to have. I should have named this, instead of the joy of the Lord, I should have named it the David moment or something. I don't know. I mean, it's God's. It's his. This is his. Doesn't belong to us. Take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses. I take pleasure in them? Can you imagine saying that? It's the same thing as James says. Count it all joy. Goodness gracious. Count it all joy. Well, that's hard. That's not easy. He's saying the same thing. Paul's saying, take pleasure in infirmities. So when I get sick, I'm going to say, hey, this is amazing. Wonderful. I'm at the point where I'm counting it all joy. I got James 1, 2 through 4 down. I don't think I'm quite taking pleasure when I'm sick yet. I'm not quite here. I'm not quite happy that I have when I get the flu, especially the stomach flu. That's not quite, I'm not quite there. I'm not quite taking pleasure in some of these things. And I have to admit that. I count it all joy sometimes. But there have been a couple times lately when it's taken me a few moments to get to that joy, you know? I had one recently where I just went, oh, joy took me a couple days. Took me a couple days to get there. And I can see it now after the fact, but at the moment, it was recently. And I tell you something. It was kind of like God saying, do you really? You really count it all joy? I got one for you. And I'm not saying he was like, you know, it's not like God says, man, I'm going to stick it to you. That's not what I mean, because that's not how God is. But it's him saying, listen, you know, it's not like God says, I'm going to prove to you that you don't. No, it's him saying, I need you to understand that you still have some perfecting. Still have a ways to go. Maybe that's why you're still here, right? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It doesn't mean perfect as in, I can just go around judging everyone now. Uh-uh. It means mature in Christ. You know, we're running that race so that we can receive those crowns at the end, right? And that doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean so I can sit here and say, look at how amazing I am. You know, I was telling someone today, and this person has made some comments about me, and so I'm about to make some about him. And they're very nice ones. So Carl, who you heard on my program last week, and I was telling someone again this today, is the kindest, humblest, most generous and patient man I've ever known. But he would tell you that he's not. He would not say that to you at all about himself. And that's probably one of the things that makes him who he is. I'm about to tear up here. I've never known anyone to give more time, attention to people. Just whenever they need it. He is always there. He's always there. I don't know him to ever say no to anyone. And I had an issue recently, and I didn't call him because I knew he was going to be busy. He had surgery a week ago, and I knew he had some stuff going on. He said, don't you ever worry about it. You call me if you really need me. And I know this. I know that he is available because that's the kind of person he is. And I'm not saying this to try to blow him up or puff his head up, and I know it wouldn't. But I say this for this reason. There are people in our life that God puts there for a purpose. And many of these people have no idea what some of these people don't even realize what some of their spiritual gifts are. And I think in his place, in his situation, he may not even be aware of how he touches some people. Sometimes we don't know. You may be touching some people in ways you're not even aware of. Now, so when you say you're not good enough, when you think you're not good enough, I want you to realize that God, if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit and allowing him to work through you, realize that God can be working through you in ways you may not even know. You may not have any idea. You may not even realize it, that people are seeing you in ways that you can't imagine. Now, don't go idolizing Carl He won't be able to get through us through the door. But his head will be puffed up so big. I'm just kidding. That's not who he is at all. He's one of the most humble people I know. And again, like I said, he doesn't even know it. And he's hearing it now, and he's probably saying, that's not me. I'm not even like that. But you are, Carl. You are. You're a dear. All right. And where was I? 2 Corinthians. Okay, 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. Ah, what just happened? That was weird. I had something strange come up onto my... I'm telling you, some things come up onto this computer sometimes that just make you go, what? Okay, we're going to go to 1 John and chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. They don't understand the world, the flesh, the natural world does not understand who we are. So when they don't think we're good enough, and you may hear that, listen, the people that knew you before, that knew you before you were saved, when they see that you, that God has put a ministry in you, they're going to say, really? But this is who you were. This is who I still know you as. Okay. That's all right. That is okay. Because it doesn't matter. Remember what we said. You are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they think of you. What matters is what God knows you are. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I know. Maybe you did drugs. Maybe you sold drugs. Maybe you were sexually promiscuous. Maybe you cheated on your husband or your wife. Maybe you've been divorced 3 times. Doesn't matter. That's old. That's gone. That was before you knew him. You are a new creation. Remember what Romans 8:1 said? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. If you know Christ and are walking according to the Spirit instead of the flesh, there's no condemnation from God or from man. You're not good enough? Who cares what man says? You're in Christ. And all your righteousness that was as filthy rags before, your righteousness is in Christ. That is all that matters. Your righteousness is in Christ. All that matters. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians and go to chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Our sufficiency is from God. There is nothing of ourself that is good. Everything is from God. verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Everything. Our sufficiency is in Christ. Not just to do his will in our life, but in his ministry. We are ministers of God to do his will. To do his will. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, and we're going to go to verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared our good works in advance because he knew that we were going to walk in those good works. He prepared them for us. He prepared them for us to walk in those works that he would do in us. We're going to do those good works because God's going to do them through us. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, it's only in him that we're able to do anything. We do everything through God. Everything. He does it all through us. Everything through us. It's not, and it never has been, us doing it ourselves. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is our purpose? To proclaim the praises of him who called us. That's our purpose. It's to do his work. That's it. That is our purpose, to do his work. Now, if that's our purpose, isn't he going to accomplish it in us? Why would he give us a purpose and not give us the ability to do it? Philippians 4. Philippians 4, let's start in verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. Christ who strengthens me. See, God gets us through everything. He's the one that gives us the strength. We don't do it on our own. I do it only because it's Christ working through me. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we do it, because it's only him doing it in us. It's only him doing it in us. We can't do anything on our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, we cannot say, oh, I did this. I can't say I am the one responsible for this program today, because I'm not. It's God. God, he's responsible. I'm not doing this program. He's doing it in me. And as soon as I try to say, me, then I'm wrong. Because it's always Ephesians 6:12. Always. It's always spiritual warfare. It's always Satan trying to tell me, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. Fight me, fight me, fight me. See? It's always him saying, get in an argument with everyone around you and everything around you and fight everything. Don't we want to do that? We want to fight everybody and everything. How hard is that? What we have to do is give it to God and say, I can't do it, Lord, please do this. And sometimes the fight becomes so much that don't we kind of fall apart? That's when, it's actually when, and I think we talked about this in Carl's program on Sunday. That's when he uses us the most. When I am weak, then he is strong. When I completely fall apart and say, Lord, I can't do this. I'm incapable. Please, Lord, just take it from me. Just take it from me. Didn't Christ say that, right? Please, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, your will, not mine. And I believe that at that time, what happened was that God took the cup from him and yet at the same time gave it back. It's like God and Christ, that's that moment when they sort of came together, right? And God took that cup for him. And at the same time, Christ knew that he was going to take on the burdens of everyone. All of us, right? He took on the sin of the world. He took on the sin of the world, didn't he? And yet God, at the same time as his Father, as our Father, did it for him. We sort of see this, everything coming into this culmination on the cross. I can't even imagine how all that worked because I'm not Christ. And yet, at the same time, it just seems as if I can't. I think if I were to try to imagine it, it would just be too much to imagine him taking on the sins of everyone, right? Taking on the sins. That is too much for me to even think about. But it's because he took on all of that. It's only because he took on the sins of the world that we are good enough in him. That's why God does the work through us. That's why. That's the only reason why. All right, let's go back to Romans. I don't know if I went to here or not, but we're going to go back here again. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God to those who are the called according to his purpose. So, okay, not good enough? Do you love him? Because everything's going to work for good, for our good, if we love him and if we're called according to his purpose. So, do you love him? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? Are you going according to his purpose? Are you listening to his will? We're not talking about your purpose. We're not talking about your will. We're talking about his. And totally his. Let's go to Joshua, which is always something I have a difficult time finding Joshua. There you go. There you are. Joshua. Right before Judges. All right. So Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, we can't be afraid of doing his work because he's the one that's doing it for us, through us. He's doing it for us and through us. We're not to be afraid. We're not to worry. He's here with us all the time. All the time. And there's nothing for us to be concerned about when we're in his will, doing his will. 2 Timothy 2:7. Let me start in verse 6. In fact, let me start in 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. We are appointed to speak the truth in Christ, and therefore he is going to make it possible for us to do so. That's lovely, but that's not what I was looking for. I was supposed to be in 2 Timothy. And it's true, but 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The Lord gives us understanding in all things. But we have to go to him for it, right? We go to him for understanding, and he will give it to us. But we must go to him. Remember, James 1 tells us that if we ask him for understanding, he will give it to us. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And if Christ is living in me, it's not me, but it's him. Then what are we being concerned about? He's the one that's taking care of us, not us. Not us. We don't have to worry about it. God is going to take care of it. Not us. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, everything. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The only way that we are conquerors is through him. We don't do it on our own. We don't do it on our own. It's only through Christ, not us. We cannot do it. The reason we feel worthless The reason we feel incapable, is because we're not counting on God to do the work. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 through 18. Remember, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. It's not us. Don't glory in yourself. Glory in the Lord. Isaiah 41. I can get to chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is the one who strengthens us. Him. Not us. If we want any sort of strength from ourselves, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. Not us. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. It's always him. It's always him. Proverbs 3. I love this one. I just love this. Hold on, let me get there. Proverbs, which is right at the song. Proverbs 3. Many of you are probably familiar with this one. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Stop acknowledging yourself. Stop trying to lean on your own understanding. Let him direct your path. Let him tell you which way to go. And he will. But when we lean on our own understanding, when we try to figure out how to do it on our own, we are going to fail. We are. Let's go to Hebrews 3. At least we are going to fail God's will. We might succeed in doing man's will, in doing Satan's will, but we're not going to succeed in doing God's. Hebrews 4, verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Okay, so let's translate that a little bit. When you enter God's rest, you cease from doing your own works, just as God ceased from doing his works. You see, when you decide that you are going to put yourself in God's hands, then you stop doing your own works because you allow yourself to enter his rest. And you say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to enter into the Sabbath day, and I'm going to sit there permanently sitting on the Sabbath day. That's why we don't have a Saturday Sabbath anymore. We don't have a Sunday Sabbath either. We don't have an actual Sabbath that is the law. We have misplaced that because every day is the Sabbath now. Every day is the Sabbath. We have entered his rest. Woo, thank you, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We have entered a permanent Sabbath day. Hallelujah. A permanent Sabbath day. We have entered his rest. Let us be, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fail after the same example of disobedience. A permanent Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:21. Oh, I love that. Hebrews 13:21. God will make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He's going to do the work in you. He's going to make you complete in every good work to do his will. He's going to do it. Did you catch that? He's going to do it. He's going to make you complete. See, but that's when we enter his rest. That permanent Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I love that. Isn't that beautiful? That permanent Sabbath day. That's beautiful and lovely. My. John 16:33. I'm just kind of walking on sunshine, I guess I want to say after that last one. That God just showed permanent Sabbath day. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. What does that mean? He's overcome the flesh. He's overcome all those things if we will just rest in him. See, we don't have to worry about that at all. It's not our problem. It's his burden there. It's his burden there. Not ours. This is what he's telling us. We don't have to bear any of those burdens anymore. Christ took them upon himself at the cross. Why do we want to keep picking it up? Why do we want to keep picking up his burden and saying, I want it? See, when we pick up that cross to follow him daily, that cross for us should be like a styrofoam cross. For him, it was heavy. But see, he carried it for us already. That cross is light for us. He already did it. Father, we are so thankful that we can have this permanent Sabbath day, this resting in you. Because you've already done all the work. You've done it all for us, Lord. And we are so thankful. We're so blessed by your grace and mercy and your love that you took all the burden for us. Christ took all of it on the cross, and he carried it for us. And we no longer have to carry any burden anymore. You carry it all, and we now have to carry nothing. We just love you, Lord, and we're so thankful that we now have this permanent day of rest, a permanent Sabbath day, and we're so thankful. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week in the Lord, and we'll see you next week.